Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's bring in Babe Laufenberg, Cowboys color analyst. He's going to have the call of the game tonight, right here, Cowboys and Saints on 105.3 The Fan. Babe joins us every Thursday at this time here on Sean and RJ. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Great, fellas. How are you?
Doing well. Where are you right now?
I'm actually in my hotel room in New Orleans, and we got a real nice room. They fluctuate a little, but I got a nice corner room that's a little bigger, and I'm living large. I wish I were down here at a time when you could just enjoy New Orleans, but, you know, I get up, I do my work. Brad Shammer and I are going to have a little coffee this morning and talk over Cowboys. Really excited about the game tonight, too.
You can have some of that chicory down there. Oh. And terrible stuff.
Awful. Awful.
Hey, let me quickly say the beauty of the internet. I was able to listen to you guys a little bit this morning before coming on. And Drew Pearson, great interview there. Excited about at least recording a Football Life tomorrow night with him. But I think it's great. You know, I flew up to Canton, or Cleveland, as the case may be, and Cliff Harris was on the plane, you know, for the Hall of Fame game and their induction and all, and I think it's just great for those guys, Cliff and Drew, and, you know, I don't want to say people forget about them, but
yeah,
if you're your age, you never saw those guys play, probably, and I barely remember them. You know, I remember as a kid and seeing Cliff and that, but I didn't grow up in Dallas, and anyway, they almost get a second act in life. It's just great, I think, that everybody, again, recognizes, you know, 30, 40 years later, just how great they were.
When you went to the Cowboys, who were you in awe of meeting for the first time? Was it Roger?
That's a great question. Yeah, Roger.
I mean, in awe. Landry. I'm talking about, like, oh, my God. Like, if I see this person, I know I'm going to see him, and I don't know what I'm going to say. I might be fumbling over my words.
Probably Roger. I'm going to pull back the curtain here, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, but, you know, Dr. Dan Cooper, noted orthopedic surgeon, Cowboys team orthopedic surgeon, basically does all the knees, shoulders. People come from around the country to have him operate on their body, you know, professional athletes. That's their livelihood. I said, Dr. Cooper, you ever get – so backtracking a little, you know, you've got – if he operates on Dak, God forbid, you know, that's $160 million on that operating table, right?
Yeah.
you've got a team's hopes, you've got an organization's hopes, you've got a player, you've got the city, you've got America's team. Everybody is counting on you. I mean, that would be pressure. But I said, Dr. Cooper, you ever get nervous on a guy like, you know, where he came in and he said, Roger Staubach.
Really,
Dr. Cooper grew up in Dallas, so he grew up undoubtedly idolizing Roger, all that stuff, right in the wheelhouse of being a high school kid, and now I'm operating on Roger Staubach. I said, I hope you didn't tell Roger ahead of time, you know, hey, I may have a shaky hand here, just so you know.
That's a great question. So I wanted to ask you, I think you're the perfect guy to ask about the booth versus on-field perspective. So Dan Quinn is going to take over for McCarthy. Dan has preferred to call the defense from up top. Give us the major differences, Babe, and which one you prefer of up top versus down there on the field to watch and call a game?
It's a great question, and I think a great dilemma, quite honestly, for these coaches, because they're two separate entities. And when you're on the field, I think you get I know you get a feel for the players, their reaction, how they're, you know, do they have their dauber down as they come off the field? Is there still a sense of confidence? Are they losing confidence?
Yeah.
whatever the case may be, you get that immediate feedback. You don't get it in the booth. You're calling down to the guy that's on the field saying, hey, how are they reacting to this? How are they?
Right.
So, but then by the same token, being able to call offensive and defensive play calls from the booth, I think is really advantageous because you get to see the whole picture. On the field, you don't get to see everything. On the field, you're relying on guys in the booth to tell you a little bit of what's happening. And in the booth, you're relying on guys on the field, your coaches on the field, to tell you, hey, how are they reacting? What's the mood down there?
Right.
So now he has done it, obviously, when he was in Atlanta. He was a head coach and coordinator. He gave up the coordinator duties eventually. But so he's fulfilled both roles. So I think he'll be comfortable in doing it. But, yeah, I think you see the game. And there's a fog of war on the field, right, that you don't deal with in the booth. And, you know, everything's happening down there. Guys are coming up to you. Maybe you're putting out a fight. Two guys are arguing. You know, all that's going on. You've got the officials to deal with. You're screaming at them. Now, he screams at them up in the booth. Trust me, on that 3rd and 18, Dan Quinn was probably screaming loud enough at the officials that they could hear him on the field when he was in the booth.
He should have screamed at himself for putting them out in man-to-man, but whatever.
Well, trust me. What you're doing playing man-free on 3rd and 18, I have no idea. But that's what they did.
Babe, when it comes to the offense being in the booth versus on the field, how much of that is the quarterback saying, I want the coach down here with me so I could talk to him between series without having to get on a phone?
Oh, I think that again, it's a great point. It's a good advantageous spot for the quarterback to come right off, get that immediate feedback, and not have to get on the phone. I liked to get on the phone because typically I was coming off, I'd thrown an interception. It's easier to get, MF'd on the phone than it is for the guy to be right in your face, right? So you, and sometimes you don't even pick up the phone then. If you know you're going to get screamed at, you say, you pretend like, But it's like Saban, right? You cannot, when you see that Alabama player screw up and he's coming off the field, you know Saban's going to find him, right?
Yeah.
We've seen that a million times.
Babe Laufenberg here. Go ahead.
No, just I think there are advantages and disadvantages to both. And I think it's really just what that coach feels most comfortable doing. You know, North Turner, when he was here and they were going to Super Bowls, he was in the booth. He was not on the sideline. So different coaches do it different ways.
Let's turn you into Dr. Cooper for a second. I just want your Cowboy analysis, your Cowboy operation of why they've been struggling as of late over these last four games.
Well, before, do you have insurance if you're going to get my medical advice? What's
right.
your copay?
HIPAA's not public, babe.
I love it. Yeah. What's interesting? I think Sean Payton tonight is going to tell us what this team is. And I say that because when they played Buffalo, I don't know if you watched the game Thursday night, but I went back, looked at it again, all that good stuff. But he even said as much. He said, I knew we were going to need to score with this team. So he went in there, they went for it twice on fourth down, once on fourth and one from their own 30 early in the game. Mm. They ran a fake punt. They did everything because they knew they weren't going to generate enough. He knew he wasn't going to generate enough offense to keep up with Buffalo's offense. He had that kind of respect for Buffalo's offense. So how are they going to play this one tonight? How is he going into this game? Is he saying, this is a team that's going to put 35 on us? Or is he saying, hey, if we can just keep this down, these guys aren't playing great. They haven't been running the ball well. We have a good defense. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see how Sean Payton approaches it, because that'll tell you as much about the Cowboys as anything we talk about.
Would you rather face Trevor Siemian or Taysom Hill?
Great question. You guys got good questions.
Well, once a month.
I think you'd rather face Trevor Siemian because Taysom Hill is a little bit of that wild card. Now, what's funny about Taysom Hill, too, he's thrown 142 career passes. I mean, he's played like four games at quarterback.
And he got paid. He's been around. Keeps getting paid.
Oh, he got paid.
Tons of money.
He did. He got paid big time this week. But I just mean from the standpoint of he's been around, I don't want to say so long, it's his fifth year, but you feel like he's been around and been in that quarterback spot. And he's thrown 8 passes this year. He's thrown 142 in his career. So this is really a novice guy at the position. And he is a wild card. He runs 4-5, 4-4-5. He's tough as nails. Obviously, he plays special teams. I mean, I've never seen anybody Somebody could say, oh, well, what about this guy who was a quarterback who did all the things and has done all the things that he's done at every other position? I mean, he's a receiver. He's a running back. Again, he's a special. He goes down and covers kickoffs. Name me a quarterback that covers kickoffs. I mean, Danny White punted. You could throw a couple others out there, but he is a wild card because he's obviously an exceptional athlete. So you can have your hands full with him.
Babe Laufenberg, Cowboys. Now,
do you know quickly how they found him?
No.
BYU, yeah.
Yeah, but this is a great story. Okay, so here's BYU. He came out as a 27-year-old rookie because he went on a two-year Mormon mission out of high school. Anyway, Sean Payton is looking at Green Bay preseason tape. He's looking at a receiver, Max McCaffrey, Christian's brother. So he's looking at Max McCaffrey, seeing if they want to add him to their practice squad or whatnot or sign him. He's looking at the tape, and he's looking at this guy saying, who's this playing quarterback? All of a sudden, his eyes went to the quarterback, right? And it was Taysom Hill. And Sean said, I'm thinking, is this Sean Hill? I thought he'd been out of the league for a while. And they said, no, that's not Sean. This kid named Taysom Hill. So that's when he said, well, let's bring this guy in. And now you see what's happened to him. But I always think that's funny. We think all these great scouting services, scouts are out there. They overturn every rock. And here's Sean Payton looking at a receiver going, well, who's the quarterback? So here he is making a heck of a lot of money, as you guys pointed out.
Babe, with some of the inconsistencies with the offense, they've been missing guys, obviously. Have you seen anything with Kellen Moore different in terms of approach or creativity here as of late with the Cowboys offense?
No, and quite honestly, I think you almost have to get more creative when you lose players because you're hiding deficiencies then. And, you know, Zeke isn't Zeke, let's be honest. He just hasn't been Zeke for, whatever, 5 weeks. His long run in the last five games is 11 yards. I mean, that's not a top-flight back. So he's compromised. So consequently, everything else is compromised. Your play calling is compromised. He hasn't had Amari. He hasn't had CD. You can go on and on the people that he hasn't had, but as far as play calling, you know, I looked at Sean Payton last week, and he's up and down that play chart, right? There's 400 plays on it. And those plays just looked a lot better when he was looking at that chart when Drew Brees was out there.
Right.
When Trevor Siemian's out there, you're not as creative. You're not as, you're not as cutting edge. You're not all those things because you don't have the players. And I think that's where Kellen is right now in terms of trying to work around a lot of inconsistencies offensively. You know, offensive line, guys haven't been great. The running game obviously hasn't been great the last 5 weeks, hasn't even been good. He's been playing without receivers. You know, I look at Joe Brady, right? Joe Brady at LSU, he was the bomb.
Yep.
and he had the number one pick at quarterback. He had Ja'Marr Chase, who ended up being a top five receiver. Yeah, Justin Jefferson. You know, he's not the bomb at Carolina now, is he?
No.
So he's still running the same plays. He's still coaching the same way. But, you know, it's just you're so dependent on having those guys out there that can make plays for you.
Babe, real quick, I wanted to get your thoughts on the college football coaches leaving and the way they're leaving with Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly leaving. You know, basically, Kelly doing this with the team still has a chance to win a national championship.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's out of control. Something has to be done. They have to be able to hold these coaches to their contracts. I don't know exactly how you do that. Obviously, it's a contract, so you just put the verbiage in there. Hey, if you want to leave, you owe us $30 million, or whatever the case may be. I'll go take a stroll down memory lane here. I was at Stanford, right? Bill Walsh had recruited me to Stanford. He was my coach my freshman year. He went to San Francisco, I don't know, January, because we played in a bowl game. We were in the Astro Blue Bonnet Bowl, beat Georgia. Anyway, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have text. I kind of found out that Coach Walsh is going to San Francisco to the 49ers. And I'll be honest with you, he never met with us, never met with the team, never talked to me. Yeah. I used to have conversations. He'd pull me into his office, you know, after, and he'd just talk life. And it wasn't all football, right? Pull me in, how things go, and how's your school going? Really sit me down. And so there was a bit of betrayal for me. I'm like, wait a minute, you just up and left. You sat in my living room with my parents, ate my mom's lemon cake, okay, three different times. And you leave and you don't even say, hey, here's what I think you need to work on. Here's what, you know, nothing. So I that always stuck with me. And so I'm sure that the Notre Dame kids, even though a lot of them didn't like Brian Kelly, there's a sense of betrayal.
Yeah.
You ask us to be all in. You ask us to be all in and sacrifice a lot, which they do, and you just up and leave. So I don't know. And one thing I hate, I don't want to ever hear a coach, Mel Tucker did it when he left Colorado in the lurch on my ad, Lincoln Riley did it, hardest decision of my life. Well, sure, maybe it was, but you know what? You made it. Own it. So Babe, don't tell me how difficult it was.
Babe, great stuff as always. Enjoy the chicory in the lobby with Brad That's Sham right. and have a great call tonight.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Babe Laufenberg reminds me of our boy Roger Emmerich. Used to bring in that tree bark in here. I said, what?
Terrible coffee.
I said, no one's going to drink that tree bark. Oh, Paul, no. You got to try like this.
Yeah, bother. Yeah, I had some of this with the Doobie Brothers back in 74.
Exactly.
God, missed that.
The Yamo Be There Doobie Brothers or the other ones?
Yamo Be There, yes.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.